Now you know how the saying goes, so respond with me. Christ is risen. And I know that some of you are thinking, wait a minute, Rick, why are we saying that today? Last Sunday was Easter. Why are we repeating this? I got news for you. And some of you already know that Easter is not a day. It's a season. It lasts for 7 weeks. Today is the second Sunday of Easter. So it ends on May 31st on a day that we call Pentecost Sunday. So today we're continuing our theme of resurrection, and we are focusing on the new life that we find when we experience resurrection, which didn't end with the resurrection of Jesus. It continues for all of us. So now we're in John chapter 11, going back before the resurrection, because what we're going to see is another resurrection. You've just heard Harry read the passage for us. But in fact, there's not one resurrection. There are four resurrections that take place in that story, and we're going to take a look at that. We're going to start by looking at verse 3, which is where Jesus receives a message from Mary and from Martha. The message says, Lord, the one you love is sick. That's bad news. What the sisters are saying to Jesus is, life is turning out differently than we expected. And we've all had that experience, whether it involves the literal death of someone that we love, who's sick, or it might be something different. Maybe it has to do with things falling apart at work. Maybe you're saying, the job that I love is sick. Or maybe it has to do with relationships that are disappointing you, and you're thinking, the friendship that I loved, maybe even the marriage that I love, is sick. Maybe it has to do with the dreams that you envision, and you're saying, the future that I love is sick. There's also, in this message they're sending, there's a little bit of a tone of blame. Did you hear it? The one you love is sick. The one you love, Jesus, you love him, and it's up to you to do something about it. And what's interesting is that in verse 6, we read this. When Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. What? He stayed where he was? Not only did he stay, but it's very intentional. In fact, there's a purpose behind him staying where he is. In verse 4, it says, Jesus is speaking. He says, this sickness is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. See, Jesus knows something that the disciples don't know. He knows something that Mary and Martha, even Lazarus, doesn't know. And we need to trust sometimes that Jesus knows things that we don't. That we can't see the whole picture, and therefore it's too early for us to determine whether God is showing his faithfulness to us or not. Where I grew up, we would sometimes go camping in this peanut butter colored tent made of canvas. And we'd go out camping and we'd get it all set up, and it had mesh that covered the windows. But here's the thing, there was little critters called no-see-ums. Some of you know what I'm talking about. No-see-ums are little bugs that are so small, so fine, they can get right through that mesh, that screen, and bite you anyway. If you set up a tent, and then somebody says, are there any golden retrievers in the tent? You can take a look and say, nope, no golden retrievers. But if I say, are there any no-see-ums in the tent? You're not going to be able to answer the question because you can't see them. Sometimes God's wisdom, God's greater understanding is so far beyond ours, we don't even know what we don't know. Jesus knows something the disciples don't know, something that Mary and Martha don't know. And the biggest mistake we can make is to think, if I can't figure out a reason, that must mean that there's no reason for the pain, for the disappointment, for the struggles that I go through in my life. Lazarus is very sick, and Jesus should be heading out, they think. But he's not heading out. He's just hanging out. And everybody else is freaking out. And eventually Lazarus dies. But I mentioned earlier, this is a story about four resurrections. Lazarus is only one, so I want us to look at three other people who are experiencing a death of their own and learn about their deaths so that we can understand our lives. The first person who's experiencing a different kind of death is this guy named Thomas. He's one of the disciples, and he is dead in his doubts. Hope is gone because life isn't turning out the way he expected it to, and he's filled with doubts. In fact, if you know your Bible and you know your church history, this guy's often called Doubting Thomas, which isn't really fair because all of them doubted, even when they saw the risen Christ. Scripture says some of them doubt. So his struggle, Thomas's struggle with doubt, didn't begin at the resurrection because they're already here in this story. Verse 16, Thomas, when he hears that Jesus is going to go and face those who oppose him, Thomas says, well, let's go. Let's go and let's die with him. Thomas reminds me of nobody more than Eeyore. You know, Winnie the Pooh's friend Eeyore the donkey? The morose, the believing the worst, the depressive Eeyore. I can almost hear Thomas's voice saying, let us go, that we may die with him. That's Thomas. He's gotten to this place where he's a God can't come through now kind of mode. Like people who say, why should I trust God? He didn't stop the coronavirus. He hasn't fixed our economy. He didn't answer prayers that I offered in the past. And we think, this is it. This is as good as it's going to get. He's filled with doubt, a death of doubts. Then there's Mary. Mary's experiencing a different kind of death. She's experiencing death in her disappointment. Things have not gone in her life the way she had hoped. Her letter to Jesus did not result in Jesus immediately coming to save the day, to fix everything. She's not just experiencing disappointment. She's experiencing disappointment in God. Disappointment in Jesus. Is that okay? Can you feel disappointed in the way God directs in your life? Sure you can. What's remarkable about this to me is that this is Mary. You remember the Mary and Martha story? If you remember that story, you know how Martha, when Jesus came to visit them, Martha was rushing all over the house, doing housework, doing meal preparation, while Mary sat at the feet of Jesus to listen to him, to learn from him, to grow in her faith by being connected to him. She was sitting at his feet. Now she's sitting in the house. Jesus comes and she doesn't even get up to see Jesus. I think Mary was more caught up in the emotion of losing her brother than Martha was. See, I think that's why it was when Mary came out that Jesus wept. He knew that Mary needed to see her tears. Martha, her sister, wasn't like Mary, dead in her disappointment, but Martha was experiencing a kind of death too. If Lazarus died physically, and Thomas was dying through his doubt, and Mary was dying through her disappointment, Martha was experiencing death in the delay. God took too long. She's the one who says, it's been 4 days since he died. And she comments to Jesus, and I love the way it's expressed in the beautiful language of the King James. She says, by this time, he stinketh. People in those days knew that human bodies after death begin to take on an odor, and she didn't want to be exposed to that. But Martha was one who would say, my devotion to God is based on God showing up according to my timetable. And his delay killed my devotion. She's asking, why, God? And a lot of us ask that too. God, why do things turn out the way that they do? And why does God's answer so often come so long after we've been waiting and waiting? Delay is painful. Delay is confusing. But listen to this. God's delay is not God's denial. God's delay is not God's denial. We need to trust that God sees and understands things in a much bigger way than we do. Well, there's a turning point in the story. It comes at verse 21. That's where Martha says to Jesus, acknowledging her pain, acknowledging her disappointment, but she says, I know even now that God will give you what you ask. Even now, I know, I trust. Even now, I believe. Do you need an even now moment in your life? Do you need to become an even now follower of Jesus? To say, Jesus, life has been a disappointment to me in many ways, but even now, I believe. Remember that it's right about here where Jesus says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. It's an important word for you and me to hear. So often we talk as though resurrection is just an event, a thing that happened to Jesus. But resurrection is not just an event. Resurrection is a person. The reason Christ rose is because he is resurrection. The reason Lazarus rose is because he was encountered by the one who is the resurrection. Jesus raised a young man who was the son of the widow of Nain. He was raised because Jesus is resurrection. You might feel that you, even today, are at some level in your heart, you're dead because of doubt, or you're dead because of disappointment, or you're dead because of delay. But listen, standing in your presence, even right now as you watch this video at home, standing at your side is the one who didn't just experience resurrection, he is the resurrection. The resurrection and the life. And he asks you the same question that he asked Martha. Do you believe? In Martha's case, Jesus is just about to do something unimaginable. He's going to speak to Lazarus. And he's going to say, Lazarus, come forth. It's been said that Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, because he has such power and such authority as the Son of God that if Jesus had simply said, come forth, every grave on earth would have been emptied, because he has the authority to speak all of the dead back into life. And he was just calling Lazarus this time. What's really interesting, and we need to hear this, church, speaking to you who are trusting in Jesus, is that Jesus didn't simply speak to Lazarus. He also said two things to those who were listening to him. In verse 39, Jesus says, take away the stone And in verse 44, Jesus says, take off the grave clothes and let him go. I want you to notice something. First, it's the power of Jesus that raises Lazarus. But secondly, people who are listening to Jesus are asked to become participants in the work that he's doing. Why? Couldn't Jesus, who was miraculously restoring life to a dead man, couldn't he also at the same time move a stone and remove grave clothes? Is stone moving and corpse unwrapping so difficult that Jesus couldn't do it? Of course not. Jesus invites those who trust in him to become part of his restorative work in the world. His work in us is not simply to punch our ticket to heaven. It's to give us a worthwhile task. And that task is inviting us to become part of the transforming work that he is doing. See, we focus on trusting in Jesus. And it's true that the first step in being part of God's transforming work is to trust in Jesus and allow it to begin transforming us. But it doesn't stop there. We're invited to be a carrier of this life movement, the life of Jesus, to bless others with his grace and love, to serve them in his name, to invite them into this life movement of trusting in Jesus and to live out this resurrected life that he has offered to us, because he is the resurrection and the life. Join me in prayer. Lord, we bless you for your word. We bless you for the good work that you have done in and through your resurrection, Jesus, and the life that you offer to us. Lord, give us hearts that say yes to you, that say, I'm going to love and trust and follow Jesus Christ. But let us not stop there. Let us also have hearts that say, I will join with my Lord Jesus in rolling away stones that are keeping people from trusting in him, and in unwrapping the grave clothes that are holding others back from experiencing his fullness. Lord, help us. We want to walk with you and to bless and serve this world in your name. Help us to do that, we pray, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.